friendship's sweeter. Knowing you're near, so good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I carry you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. That's Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7. O magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, February 10th, 2026. On very short notice, joining me in the studio is one of our board members, a beloved board member. I've learned so much from him, Bishop Jonathan Franklin. He resides here in Springfield, and I appreciate him carving out time. In fact, today we have a board meeting, so I would ask that you pray up our gathering, pray for our future, how God's going to work in and through this radio ministry. But I've learned so much from the bishop in so many different ways. I'm a part of the Springfield and Vicinity Ministerial Alliance. I'm also a part of the Champaign-Urbana and Vicinity's Ministerial Alliance. But these last 3 or 4 years, he's led as the president, and I've so appreciated so many things that he's brought to the table, how he's encouraged us and prayed over us and cared for us and cares for the greater Springfield and Vicinity community. And so my topic today, because he shared this at the Ministerial Alliance this past Saturday, but his heart for prayer. Now, I've known that about him for years. He's met with many different pastors. Anytime a new pastor comes to town or he finds that there's a new one installed in a new church, he is very forthright to go there and pray with them and talk about prayer and teach about prayer and has a passionate prayer life. Oh, anyways, Bishop, I want to get you in on this conversation, because on Saturday you talked about praying for the city and you published this, not a booklet, kind of like a newsletter, but you talk about the Apostles' Creed, the importance of praying for the city, but you kind of spontaneously shared with all the ministers and ministry leaders your passion for prayer, the importance of prayer. And so I said, oh, I got to get you to come in on Tuesday for Testimony Tuesday. So what else would you want to say about yourself? I've had you on in past years, but what would help for the listeners to know about you and then talk about the importance of prayer? Because I think this should ignite people in Bloomington, in Champaign-Urbana, in Peoria, in Decatur, you know, in all the communities, if the emphasis could be placed on prayer by the pastors and ministry leaders, I think we could see revival take place.
Good day, everyone. It's good to be here with you, Mark, to be able to talk about this subject that's very dear to my heart. I don't think there's anything that people really need to know about me. My job is to point people to Jesus. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I try to maintain that as the focus of what I do. And the scripture that you read stood out to me. And as I think about the city that we are in, and God said, you know, of course, he drove Israel into exile, mm-hmm. And he said, whatever city I've driven you into, I'm making you responsible for the prosperity of that city. So praying people in whatever city, praying people have it within their power to cause that city to prosper. Mm-hmm. And, of course, prosperity, we generally think about money, mm-hmm. you know, and we really denigrate what we call prosperity preachers, mm-hmm. whose whole mission is money. But when I think of the prosperity of a city, it is all-encompassing. Mm-hmm. The business environment prospers. The educational environment prospers. The Christian, the church environment prospers. And so there is a overall peace that can be brought to bear on a city.
And I'm going to jump in here because I think of Champaign Chief of Police Tim Tyler. Even crime has been reduced,
right,
as he's had many different people praying on street corners, or he himself prays many times throughout the day. So the influence of prayer is not just, like you said, prosperity, but it can filter into all aspects of the community.
We have to pray both from a positive and a negative standpoint. Positive, We're praying things into existence. Mm-hmm. Negative, we're praying things out of existence. So we pray against crime. We pray against violence in the city. And if we can pray those things out of the way, then it clears mm-hmm. the way mm-hmm. for better things to come. And then we pray for jobs and community relations and all of those positive things mm-hmm. that are so needed to make a society work like it's supposed to work to the benefit of all of its citizens. Mm-hmm.
And so I know Pastor Mark Johnson shared a devotional thought and kind of got us revved up and encouraged and blessed. But then you were going to share a moment or two, but you really are so passionate about prayer. And one thing that the Alliance House offers, and part of your goal is that there will be people in that house praying each day and various hours. And so talk a little bit about the importance of prayer, and then maybe even touch on the Apostles' Creed.
Let me touch on the Apostles' Creed first of all, because as a ministerial alliance comprised by people from different denominations, different theologies, different doctrines, these things have kept the church apart for 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. As an alliance, we adopted the Apostles' Creed as our doctrinal position. And when we come together, we don't go any farther than that in terms of what we stand on. And that gives us a common ground. I tell people, you show up at my church now, I'm gonna empty both barrels on you. but this keeps us in a place where we can work together theologically. And it's safe for the church. The bottom line of the church is prayer. It begins on prayer. The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Mm-hmm. Well, the foundation of Christianity is prayer. So as we, and it was really quite God the way this came about, we had a property donated to the Alliance that we use as an office for our storage, our records, our committee meetings, that sort of thing. It's just a little house that we converted to an office. We do have a podcast studio in there. But then we took the garage component of it and we created a prayer room and library. Mm-hmm. That prayer room is open 24 hours a day so that anybody at any time that needs to get somewhere, get alone with God, can do so. But also we have begun recruiting churches and ministries to take one day a month to go there and pray, with the goal that there will be at least one prayer meeting going on from this place every day throughout 2026. And I call that a seed of prayer. A seed has been planted of prayer in Springfield, and we expect it to grow. Mm-hmm. So I've been praying, feeling a desperation. And I was praying and I was asking God, Lord, teach me how to pray. Now, I've been praying all my life, mm-hmm. but I asked God, teach me how to pray. And I'm just praying this on a daily basis. Someone had sent me a box of materials from down in Louisiana, and I hadn't gone through it yet. But in that box of materials was a book that is called Praying Effectively for the Lost. And as I read that book, I realized this is the answer to my prayer. Hmm. And I read it, and I got so excited about it that I called the author, whose name is Lee Thomas. He lives down in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And I called him, had a very good conversation with him. Long story short, he sent me a case, 90 copies of the book. Didn't charge me anything for them. And I called him when I got them and let him know I had received them. And he said, well, that was pretty quick. And I said, well, yeah, but and they're gone just that quick. And he said, oh, really? And I said, yeah. He said, you need another case? I said, I'll take two. You know, mm-hmm. he sent me two more cases. So I'm sending a copy of this book to every pastor in Springfield. I'm taking a case of them with me next week to our state council meeting. And I'm giving one to every pastor in our state council. And the book is so profound because it reveals a couple of things. Number one, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 tells us that Satan has blinded the minds of them that believe not, which means we walk around every day. We walk around people who have heard the gospel, hundreds of times, different settings. They know the story of Jesus Christ. You can't drive down the streets of America without passing a church. Mm-hmm. They know what that church represents. And yet they are unable to give themselves to it and accept what God has offered because Satan has blinded their minds. Well, the Apostle Paul teaches us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And our job as the church is to free the minds of unbelievers. We have that power. You know, we may think, well, nobody has the power to determine what another person think. We do. If Satan can control people's minds, God ought to be able to control people's minds. And God seeks to control people's minds through the prayers of the Christian community. We've never been taught to do this, to deliberately pray to set people free. Mm-hmm. But Jesus came to set the captives free. And we are the extension of Jesus's ministry. And that extension functions as we pray. Prayer is much more than what we have allowed it to be. We pray when we get in trouble.
Right.
We pray when we have needs. So we are most prayers that go up are negative prayers. Lord, take this, you know, heal me, you know, provide for me. But no concerted effort to say, God, we live in a city where the vast majority, the overwhelming majority of the inhabitants of this city are on their way to hell. And we know that you set the church in place to keep people from going to hell. And so we're learning to pray a different way.
I know when you handed me this book and I looked at it and I thought, oh, wow, it's like 60 pages. I'll zip through this. And you said, Mark, you might think twice about that because there's going to be some principles, some techniques, some thinking that might change how you pray. And you've been pastoring, ministering for 40 plus years. And for you to say, Mark, this has really altered or changed to some degree the emphasis or how I pray, mm-hmm. I thought, wow, I can't wait. So as soon as you handed me the book, I saw his phone number on the back, and so we're texting back and forth, and I'm going to try to set up. I don't know if I can get him on for tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, but I want to read this book and learn a little more, but it's called Praying Effectively for the Lost, and then he quotes 2 Corinthians 4:4, over 1 million printed by Lee E. Thomas. And so hopefully maybe tomorrow or in the coming days we'll have him on. Now, I've known you've always had a passion for prayer and bringing people together and emphasizing the importance of prayer. So what impacted you or what startled you or what was like new that made this be so unique as a read?
The first line in the book says, "The lost will not and indeed cannot be saved unless someone prays for them."
Hmm. Boy, put some importance on prayer.
I mean, it's all important. The church is engaged in a lot of things. And someone made a statement the other day that really stuck with me. They said, the church has become all stage and no altar.
Hmm.
It kind of sounds like all hat and no cattle. But, you know, that is a devastating
indictment
of the church. We know how to perform.
Hmm.
And most of what the church does today, you don't need God to do it.
Hmm.
And so if God, you know, just left the church would go right on because we have the latest technology, you know, on display, and we're able to dazzle people with this, you know, professional singers, professional speakers, you know, and everything looks like, yeah, this must be God. You know, look what they've got going on. Do you know that it is expected that in 2026, half of all mega churches are going to close?
Mm.
And it's because we do more inside the four walls than we do outside.
Mm.
And it's outside of the four walls that the lost are found, where they can be located. The Bible tells us to go where they are, go into the highways and hedges. So we've got to get prayer in place and then turn our attention to evangelism, getting on the streets and touching people's lives for God. in such a way that we're praying, and this book leads us in how to pray for them. God, sanctify them first. Mm. The denomination that I come from, we've kind of got sanctified. You'd almost think it was a denomination. I go to a sanctified church. You know? Sure. But sanctification happens before a person is saved. Mm. God has to sanctify them. That word just means set apart. Mm. So God marks them out. And as people pray for them, and he tells us that our children, the children of Christians, are all already sanctified by the believing parents. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. An unbelieving spouse is sanctified by the believing spouse. Mm. And that means that God's hand is already on them. Mm. Well, then we need to pray that God would convict them of their sin. We need to pray that God would illuminate their minds to where they see it for themselves. Mm. I was raised in a Christian home. My parents saw it, but I didn't see it. I didn't want to see it. I wanted sin. Mm. And that's the way most people that are walking the streets of our cities are. Mm-hmm. They're not wicked, evil people, but they are blinded by Satan and taken captive by Satan at his will. And so the church's job is to bring salvation to a lost and a dying world, a world that was cast into a condition of lostness when Adam disobeyed God way back in the Garden of Eden. And Jesus came to set the captives free. He said, as I am in this world, speaking to the church, so are you. Go ye and do like I've done. And what did he do? He healed the sick. Mm. He raised the dead. He said, and he told us, as you go, heal the sick. That's not something we need to pray for. Mm. We don't need to pray for the sick. We need to heal the sick. Mm. But we have not gotten the vision, the revelation that we even have the authority to do that. But we do. And so I'm just seeking, Lord, show me, teach me how to pray. Jesus prayed 4 hours, great while before day. Mm-hmm. He got up and he prayed so that when he went about his day, he was already what the old church used to call prayed up. Mm-hmm. He fasted so that when he encountered people in their trouble, he just took a few seconds and spoke them into wholeness. And we're supposed to do that as well. But we're not putting the emphasis on prayer. And as a result, when we go out, you know, we may pray 15 minutes and then try to take 6 hours to cast the devil out of somebody. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be the other way around. We're supposed to put most of our time and energy into prayer so that God then gives us the anointing that we will need for what we're going to encounter in that day.
Yeah, and I'm thinking when we talk about prayer, there's really that surrendering. It's like, God, this is beyond me. I mean, we're talking to the higher power. We're talking, God, unless you work, unless you're involved in the situation or this circumstance or this person, you know, I might have abilities or the church might have this great program, but the power is really in prayer.
It's except the Lord build the house. Mm-hmm. They labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes but in vain. So our absolute dependence on God is critical to the right operation of the church. And I'm not anti-prosperity. The Bible promises prosperity to those who will follow God's word to the letter. But he promises a good prosperity, not a prosperity that's based on a compromise with the world, but a prosperity that comes from absolute obedience to God's word.
And prayer is really us showing our dependence on God because we're recognizing we can't do it. God, you must act, or we desire you to act. And he's generally the one through the Holy Spirit that illuminates people's minds where they recognize they're sinners, they're flawed, they need a Savior.
Right.
And so we can get them into a wonderful church and a setting and with great worship. But until their minds are illumined to the point where they recognize themselves as sinners.
Right.
And that's what I've loved about you leading the Springfield and Vicinity Ministerial Alliance. You keep calling all the pastors. The church is God's way of influencing the community and the society. But a praying church is going to be the vehicle, the tool that God uses. Those of us that attend church, be praying for your pastor, be praying for the community, interceding on behalf of them. But that's really our calling. That's our privilege. We get to talk to God. We get to ask God to work in our children's lives, in our neighbors' lives, in those co-workers. We can be active agents praying on their behalf, interceding, and then watch what God does, right?
That's exactly right.
Oh, exactly listening right. Friend. Now, you might be tuning in and you haven't began a faith journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe prayer is a new concept for you, or maybe you think, well, who would I be praying to, because you've never been introduced to God or understand his redemptive plan through Jesus. Well, there's a number you can call. You could certainly meet with Bishop Franklin. He would love to sit down with you and pray with you and explain the truths of the Bible. But you can also call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. It's a free call. They're trained counselors. They can talk to you about the importance of reading the Bible, the importance of prayer, understanding God's love as demonstrated through the Lord Jesus Christ, that he paid the penalty of our sin. None of us can earn our way into heaven. It's by what Jesus did on the cross. He paid the price. He paid the penalty for all of our sins, and how you can have a relationship with him. So I'd encourage you, if this is a new concept or you just want to pray with somebody, call 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, we have a board meeting today, so be praying for our board, for the direction that God continues to lead this ministry. We desire that all come to know the love of God, and we desire to educate, edify, and evangelize. And that evangelism happens as we pray, as we prepare the way for that individual, for that blindness to stop, that blindness to cease. Maybe their self-centeredness or their independence on their own ways would come to an end, and they'd see their great need for the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you, Bishop, for joining me today. So many things that I appreciate about Bishop Franklin, and I hope that God continues to bless you as the president of the Springfield and Vicinity Ministerial Alliance, as one of our board members, and as a street evangelist. This guy, as busy as his schedule is, will go out on street corners many times and just witness openly, and is led by the Lord in so many different things. I don't know how he keeps up with his schedule, but we want to be praying for him, and I will commit to that. And listening friend, if God brings somebody to your mind today, pray for them, intercede, ask God to remove the blinders if they're not followers of Jesus yet, or if they need to be sanctified, they're not growing in their faith, intercede on their behalf. And hopefully in the coming days, I'll see if I can get Lee Thomas on the phone lines, and we can talk about praying effectively for the lost. That's this book. It's about 60 pages, and I think it'll be a profitable, a blessed read for us all. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Bishop Jonathan Franklin with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.